Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear good fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. In this season after Trinity Sunday, we've spent a lot of time in the Gospels with the teachings of Christ. And I have to admit that I find the events in Christ's life, like his birth, his baptism, his miracles, death and resurrection, so theologically compelling that trying to preach on the teachings of Christ somewhat throws me off balance. But then the teachings of Christ have always thrown people off balance, so I'm not alone, at least. On the other hand, it's the scribes and the Pharisees who have gone down in history as those who never tried to balance themselves to Christ's teachings. So being off balance in the presence of Christ is not a good place to stay. That's why the lectionary, especially in this season, is so important, because it forces us to encounter Christ in his sundry gospel teachings, even the ones we struggle to know what to do with. There's a wonderful prayer that we can always pray when we approach scriptures like this. Illumine our hearts, O Master who loves mankind, with the pure light of your divine knowledge. Open our eyes to the understanding of your gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of your blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a more spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto you. For you are the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and to you do we give glory together with your Father, who is from everlasting, and your all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, world without end. Amen. So when you first approach this particular passage, you might struggle a little bit with it for the same reason I did. We're told to beware of false prophets. False prophets, at least in our day, are sort of the preoccupation of Pentecostals, you know, like holiness, maybe even fanatical-seeming Christian groups, the kind that generally have gold and purple logos with crowns and swords and, you know, they have billboards if they can afford it. A lot of times late night time slots on the local channels. And the false prophets they're usually pointing to are public figures of some sort, generally. They'll quote they'll quote things that they've said and show how it's not biblical. And depending on how bad the particular public figure is, they might actually get elevated from false prophet to the beast or the antichrist or something like that. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, just Google false prophet and you'll see. Better yet, do an image search. There's some good stuff out there. But this warning to beware of false prophets is actually timeless. It's a teaching of Christ, and it's meant for us as much as it's meant for everybody, regardless of their church logos. We're told to beware or be careful because, as you know, this life is a mixed bag. It's full of good and bad possibilities, good and bad choices. It often seems like the bad outnumber the good. And that's not just me being pessimistic. It's actually Christ himself who, in the verse immediately before this passage, says, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." That's why he immediately then says to watch out for one of the many things that could keep you from the narrow gate, namely false prophets. So, what is exactly a false prophet? The word prophet nowadays has all kinds of connotations that it didn't used to back in Jesus' day. Firstly, most people hear prophet and automatically interpret false prophet. That didn't used to be the case. A true prophet is simply someone who, when they speak or act, convey a divine truth. It's not about fortune-telling or telling the future. It's about conveying a message of God. A false prophet, then, is someone who not only doesn't convey the truth of God, but rather someone who actually pretends to. There's a pretense. So we're not talking about scoundrels or openly bad people. There's no pretense there. We're talking instead, and we're not even talking about heretics either. Sometimes that can be confusing. We see someone just preaching something wrong, and we might rightly label them a heretic, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily, there's a pretense there. Heretics can actually bear some good fruit. They just happen to have the wrong idea about God. St. John Chrysostom actually says that Christ isn't talking about heretics here. Instead, Christ is warning of, quote, them that are of a corrupt life, yet wear a mask of virtue, imposters. We do, in our day, at least understand the wolf in sheep's clothing metaphor. That we get. But then our Lord switches metaphors from wolves and sheep and tells us that these people can be identified by their fruit, like a tree. Quoting Christ, "So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." He puts it in such stark, simple terms that it's honestly a bit unnerving. Here we see only two options, good trees and bad trees. This black and white binary doesn't have a lot of room for gray, does it? That should be good news for identifying false prophets. They're simply bad trees disguised to look like good trees, but their fruit will give them away. Good. Now we know. But what are we? Have you ever been in a group of people listening to a speaker addressing you and you start to suspect, I don't belong in this group of people? That happened to me on the first day of school once. My senior year in high school, first day of class, I find a chair, I sit down, and the teacher starts explaining what we can expect in calculus, and I realize, I don't think I belong here. I wonder how many people sitting on the hillside during that whole Sermon on the Mount, that's the context of this passage, felt the same way. They're sitting there listening to Jesus speak, and they start to wonder, should he be talking to me? I don't know if I'm his intended audience. Asking themselves, am I a good tree or a bad tree? How many of us wonder that? If we're not wondering that about ourselves, we're probably not paying much attention. Because that's exactly the question we should be asking. Chrysostom, in his homily on this passage, anticipated another question from his congregation at this point. What then? Is there no such thing as a good man becoming wicked? And the contrary, a wicked man becoming good takes place, and we see this in real life all the time. In other words, they're saying, can it really be a binary like this? Can it just be good and bad trees? I mean, isn't life more complicated? St. John Chrysostom answers them this, but Christ doesn't say that for wicked there's no way to change, or that a good man can't fall away, but only that so long as he is living in wickedness, he cannot bear good fruit. So the binary of good and bad trees, as terrifying as it is legitimate at any given moment, but it is not a predetermined binary. It's not a lifelong binary. We don't believe in that sort of predestination, double predestination scheme. We believe, rather, that bad trees can become good trees, and so does God. In Luke 13, Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he said to him, "Sir, let it alone this 1 year, until I dig around it and put on fertilizer. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down then." So trees can change with time and with work, and they might be spared the axe. We are all complicated trees. If you're anything like me, you have absolutely produced good and bad fruit. That means we're jumping the binary. And we've talked about false prophets, but look at the real ones. Jonah ran away from his calling, got swallowed up by a fish, then he begrudgingly carried out his orders, only to finish out his story. If you've read this book, it's fascinating. He finishes out his story by waiting around to see the destruction of the city to whom he came to warn of destruction. So he preaches to Nineveh, hey, repent, or in 40 days you'll be destroyed. Then he goes out of the city, sits on a hill, and essentially waits for a fire from heaven to rain down. And as he's waiting, God causes a vine to grow up over him to shade him from the sun. But then the next day, God causes the vine to go away. And Jonah gets so upset at this, something that he wasn't even controlling. So clearly a man with some character flaws. But he's remembered as a prophet because as a good tree, he carried out his orders. And look at King David, described as a man after God's own heart. He sent a man to his death so that he could have his wife to himself. These men weren't good trees when they were committing these acts. Chrysostom even says that David, had he remained always what he was, a good man, he would not have brought forth this bad fruit. For not surely while abiding in the habit of virtue did he commit what he committed. But then he repented, he fasted, he amended his ways, he grew in virtue again, and was spared the axe, remaining a true prophet. Wearing sheep's clothing, doing apparent good works, whether it's casting out demons or, that seems like more than we could do, and apparently even if you're doing that in the Lord's name while not being inwardly a good tree, that's not sufficient, that's not enough. Saying, Lord, Lord, with your mouth isn't going to cut it. It's to people who do that that the most terrifying words ever spoken by Jesus are said. I never knew you. The life of a Christian is to know Jesus and to let Jesus know us. When Jesus knows us, he becomes our vine dresser. He prunes us. He digs around our roots. He fertilizes us. That can be a painful and unpleasant process if we're bad trees. But when we start bearing legitimately good fruit, we will find that the life of a false tree is no life at all. It's the life of Christ. There's a lot of images in the gospel that Christ uses in terms of trees and vines and fruit. It's the life of Christ, the life of Christ, the true vine, that is the only true life that there is. And in order to bear good fruit, we have to be connected to Christ. We have to be grafted onto him, drawing our life from him. So let us continually assess our fruit. Let us look to see what kind of fruit we're bearing, to make sure that we aren't putting on a facade, but being genuinely good trees bearing good fruit in Christ. And so it's to Christ, our God, with his Father in heaven and his life-giving Spirit, that we give all honor and glory, now and forever, world without end. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.